Hey everyone, welcome to the Basically Bookish podcast. I'm Abby.
And I'm Ashley, and we're going to be chatting all things bookish. This is episode 54 of the Basically Bookish podcast, and today we are discussing book titles. What's in a title? So this is something that Abby suggested, and I was like, I don't know if I've ever really sat down and thought about what catches my eye with a title, but I think it's a good topic.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't think about it all that much, but like when you stop and think about it, you're like, it does kind of make a difference.
Yeah. I think titles can fall into the, like, I don't want to say two categories and then like pin us down, but like there's the more run of the mill category of like forgettable, and it sounds like five other books you've read. And then there's some that are so unique that either they stick in your brain forever or you literally can't remember them because they're so weird.
And then you have like the love inspired brand of titles. The Rancher's Surprise Baby or what?
Yeah, Covert Christmas. Oh, Amish Covert Christmas.
That it just gets fun. I mean, I still think we need to like play some sort of love-inspired game where we just take all these, throw them in a hat, pull them out, and then like make up plots for whatever title we've discussed.
Yeah, I love that.
I think we should do that.
Just write that down so we don't forget it. We always forget. It's not that we don't want to, it's that we don't remember.
I don't even have a pen with me, so I'll just have to remember.
I'm gonna write LIS hat pick, and hopefully you'll
remember. People will be like, wait, what? You'll come across and be like, what were we even thinking? What does this mean?
I'm gonna go off on a rabbit trail because it's been a long day, you guys. I wish you could see this. I actually have a notebook. Abby razzes me about writing on like old receipts and like pharmacy like bags. I have a notebook here, and it's a real notebook, but I brought my chaos and crazy to the notebook. So I'm just gonna shoot you straight about what's on this notebook. The top now says LIS hat pick, which makes no sense if you didn't hear what I just said. Then I've got a mashup of candle-like scent ideas or thoughts about Christmas, like scents, eggnog, sugar cookie, mulled wine, Christmas tree. Then underneath that, I've got the number 52, which was from apparently episode 52 of the podcast, and now 54. And I also have two reject candle labels from The Mobster's Daughter.
A look inside Ashley's brain, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, back to the topic at hand. It was too random not to share, because I'm like, you would appreciate it because of my nonsense. Like, I brought it to my notebook. Okay, so the titles to me that stick out, I have sometimes trouble remembering them, but once they're in my brain, they're there forever. Like Whose Waves These Are was a really hard title to wrap my head around, because in my head it sounds like someone like chopped up a sentence and put it in a blender and rearranged the words. But I think after reading the book and like it's stuck in my brain, I'll never not remember the name of that book, and it is very unique and I love it.
Yeah, I definitely do like the not necessarily longer, but just like the more kind of poetic titles, like,
yeah,
the ones that like don't make sense till you read the book.
Yeah,
I kind of love them.
It's like a secret. You're like,
yeah, it's like, okay, well that's a title, and then you read the book and you're like, oh my gosh, the title.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Oh, what is that? Fair as a Star from Mimi Matthews.
Yes.
Same.
Definitely had that moment with that one.
That is it Victorian or Regency, that one? Who knows? We're not going to know.
I think that one's Victorian, but I could be wrong.
Pick your poison. It's one of those time periods. It's a novella by Mimi Matthews. It was really, really sweet. Like, novella. I loved it. And I'm not really one for poems, but this one had such significance to the story that, like, after we read it, we were like, and the poem!
Yeah, both of it, like, I mean, I utterly am like, I have no poetry-minded brain. No. Like, I literally look at a poem and I'm like, that looks ridiculous and doesn't make sense. And then some of my sisters are like sobbing and I'm like, what was even happening? That didn't even look like it meant anything.
It kind of makes you want to be like, why don't you calm down and like get a hold of yourself? Because we're not like bit to the emotional way, you know?
No. We're not the see the deeper meaning emotional types. We're like, we read it at face value and we're like, what? And then somebody's like, well, it symbolizes. And I'm like, then why didn't they say that?
So we like poetic titles. How do you feel about like one word titles? I kind of like them because they're easy to remember and usually it's like a one-stop shop.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I feel like it's hard to screw up a one word title.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of them, but in my head I'm like, Fox, Romanoff. Like,
yeah.
That's come to my mind.
Like, it's not going to be cheesy. It's succinct. It usually, a lot of times I feel like it's either like a name or like just a word that has like significance to like whatever's going on. And so it's just like, it works.
Yeah.
You don't have anything, like you don't have to like be like, okay, that like, I don't know how that fit. Like usually
titles are very good. The Danny Petrie series, is it Alaskan Courage? Those were like that too. And like, for their time and what they were, like the idea of that, it was really cool. And the covers like went with whatever it was. Like, I really liked that concept. Not that she came up with it, but like in that series, it was like, it did what it was supposed to do, is grabbing.
Yeah, it's there. So yeah, I'm a fan. Like, I'm not like, oh my gosh, those are like my favorite one word titles, but like, you can never have a problem with a one word title.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of problem titles, I'm going to go there. I don't even think I can get it right now. So you're going to have to tell me the right way. Okay. The Joanne Bischoff Daughters of Northern Shore, or the Daughters of Northern Shore, Daughters of the Northern. What is the name of the book? No one knows. It's always wrong.
Daughters of
Northern Shore. Right?
Daughters of Northern Shores.
Shores.
Plural. I literally had to go look at myself. Like, I couldn't have told you.
Good book. Hate the title. Because I never, ever, ever get it right. And no one else does either. I guarantee you, if you come back through the post, you'll see like 90% of us probably put the wrong title in our blog.
And we didn't even notice.
No, it wasn't on purpose. Yeah. It's just hard.
Yeah, that's something you gotta be careful with when it's like a weird phrasing of the word, like with Whose Waves These Are. Like, it was different. And so it like stumbled us in the beginning, but like once you've read it, it makes sense. But like that one, I mean, it makes sense, but it like does not roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
Does not like stick in your brain. You just want to throw the words in different orders or add words and switch out words. And it's just like convoluted. This is where one word titles don't do this to you.
That's true. They're your friend. I also, speaking of things I don't like, I don't love when titles have words that like you're not sure how to pronounce. Because like you sound like a fool trying to promote it. And unless somebody tells you, you don't want to say it wrong or out loud because you're going to look like a fool. And then someone will correct you. And usually you still feel like an idiot. It doesn't matter if they were gracious or not. You feel like an idiot.
Yeah. Keep it to words that are easily pronounced and figured out. And
like I'm not even going to say it. The Grace Hitchcock book.
My Dear Miss Dupre?
Sure. Good for you.
I looked it up.
Okay. I'm not French or whatever she was, descended from that makes yeah. that not something that I would have heard, like Smith or Jones.
Yeah, I literally looked it up, and now that I've said it, I'm like, maybe I said it wrong.
But you said it with confidence, so it doesn't matter.
I did. I said it with so much confidence, and then I'm going to look this up after we're done, and if I got it wrong, I'm going to laugh my head off.
Like, privately. Titles that trip you up, like the Christiane Hunter, not you, but like people, the vying for the Viscount, and like, because it's not a word that's commonly used here, and we would technically not sound it out that way. There's a lot of mispronunciation, and like you can kind of laugh and be like, they're idiots, they don't know, but like honestly it's not a word we use, and it's not something that like you say a lot, and it's not pronounced that way, like for the way that we sound out things like phonetically, I guess. So
yeah, that one. I still remember, like, I did my unboxing of it, and I had someone like message me and be like, thank you for saying it correctly. Everyone's saying it wrong.
It's hard. Words are hard. It's hard.
Words are hard. And yeah, when they're in titles and then you're like mumbling it, or I mean, this is completely unrelated, but like authors' names, when you're like, I'm probably saying this wrong, but you just spit out whatever you think.
Yeah, like Morgan Bussey, she'll be Busey to me forever in my head, because it was always wrong, but it was wrong so long it was right.
Exactly. It's just
so what about, I mean, there's nothing we can say or do really about this, but like the fact of the matter is that some titles are so similar and they are in similar genres that then I can't remember which book belongs to what title. So this is where I'm going with this. The then there was you, then came you, and there's one more that's very similar. What is it?
You always would mix it up with There You'll Find Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would mix up that one. And
someone's looking. Someone's being found. Someone's just being there.
Ugh. Yeah. It's really funny, like, sometimes when, actually, like, it's happening, like, Courtney Walsh's Christmas book, there's another Christmas book that's the same title, except for one of them has the word before Cross Country Christmas.
Courtney's is A Cross Country Christmas.
Yeah, and so the other one's just Cross Country Christmas, and I'm like, did no one check nothing? Like, you guys released these books, like, at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Courtney's could have done hers differently, because it's literally a cross-country road trip, which probably the other one is too, but I haven't read the other one.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I think it is a road trip across the country, so.
I think you just have to hope in that instance that your cover is more eye-catching, and so it's the one people remember.
Well, Courtney's is more eye-catching. The other one's like, I mean, Courtney's is just like kind of
adorable. It's like,
yeah, it's adorable. It's like fun. It's the, like, I can't think of a word, not realistic, but like
illustrated.
Yeah, that's like, and the other one is just like a normal picture of like a couple or whatever. So it's like blends in with life. So yeah, it is funny. Like, anytime like a book is coming out and it has like a similar title to something else, I'm always just like, huh. But like, if you think about it, there's how many hundreds and thousands of books in the world, over how many years, they're gonna have some similar titles. It's just always funny to me.
Do you like series that have like a similar
I
guess.
I was like literally planning to ask that.
Because like the Nancy Mell books that you haven't read, but like, for example, because it's an easy example, the first one was Nightfall. The second one, I think, is Deadfall. Who knows what will fall the third one, but I'm sure something will fall. How do we feel?
I like it if it makes sense. Like, if you have to stretch something to make a title match, then I'm like, okay. But if like you've planned it out in advance, you know that they're all gonna match, like the Danny Petrie, where they're all like S words that end in like the EP, like Silent, Shattered, Stranded, like,
yeah,
it makes it memorable. It's like easy to like fit them together. I mean, sometimes you're like, wait, which one was that? Like, so it can be confusing trying to remember which book was which at times, but yeah, like it makes a nice look for the cohesiveness of the series. So I'm not opposed, but sometimes you're like, you can tell that they just like tried to make it fit, and you're like, that yeah, title doesn't really fully fit the book. It fits the series, but not the book.
Yeah.
So I think if it can't be done well, then I'm all for it. If it needs to be stretched, then skip it and just call your books whatever you want. I mean, I would like them to have like some sort of make sense together.
Right.
Not like Killer at Night and then Roses and like sort of make sense, but like they don't have to be like cohesive.
It needs to make sense with the book, and like it would be nice if it ties the series together in some way, yeah, with the title. A bad example of this, we read a Regency series. Abby was really offended most of the time because I think you read it like a day or two before I did.
Oh my god, I was like trying to remember where you were going.
The first was that the first one or the second one we read?
It was the first one.
Okay, she just kept saying like the book is fine, but I'll give you the title. I don't care. I'm beholden to no one. The title was The Audacious Miss Eliza, right?
Yes.
And Abby was like, the book is fine, the writing is fine, but this girl's not audacious. Like, she doesn't take control of anything. Like, she's kind of a wilting violet. Like, and I was like, and as I read it, I was like, yeah, like, I'm getting so annoyed. Like, she won't stand up for herself. And I'm like, we were just annoyed because the title did not reflect the character. And it really didn't reflect her growth so much, because I think by the end of the book, in some form or fashion, the author like tried in her way to give her the growth that she needed. But I think audacious was a stretch, and we didn't care. Like, we were fine, like, except she was called audacious and she wasn't.
Yeah, it was like, I literally got irrationally angry about it because like she was the furthest thing from audacious. I even like looked up the definition of audacious to make sure I wasn't like wrong. Like, I'm like, I feel like this is what audacious means, but I'm gonna give this benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna Google it. Like, I'm looking it up. I'm making sure that I am right. And like, they, like other people in the story would keep calling her audacious. And I'm like,
yeah,
what? Like, I don't see, like, and it's such a weird word. Like, it's not like a normal run of the, like, I don't go around being like, well, that was audacious of you. Like,
Ashley's so audacious. Abby's so audacious. No, we're not.
It doesn't come out. So like, yeah, I got irrationally angry. And like you said, the book was fine. And it was like, it wasn't like this amazing book or what, like, it wasn't like a 5-star, tell everyone to read it, but it was good. For a Regency, it was good. But the fact that I was so irritated the whole time about the title ruined it for me. Like, I have no, like, it ruined it. So technically a title can make or break a book. I never thought it could, but apparently
it's true. I read a Jennifer Delamere book, The Captain's Daughter. Is that the name?
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't hate the book necessarily, but there was a lot I didn't like about it. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. It just wasn't my cup of tea. Fine, whatever. The cover was really great, but it was called The Captain's Daughter, and like, there was little to no emphasis put on her being a captain's daughter. So I was like, why this title for this story? Like, and I know the authors, 9 times out of 10, if it's traditional publishing, they're not responsible for picking the title. They can suggest something, from what I've heard. They have suggestions, they have words that they might want to see in a title, but that doesn't mean that they'll get their wish, and it doesn't mean that those words that they suggest might end up in it. So it's not like, why are these authors doing this? It's just in general, like, whoever team person, whoever is coming up with the titles, like sometimes you want to like, hey, can I pick your brain? Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, it's like, sometimes they just, it's literally like, did you just like, couldn't, like in that case, it was like, you couldn't come up with a title and you're like, well, her dad's technically a captain, so let's call it the captain's daughter. It's yeah. like, it's not even like that gripping of a title, like that, like, oh, they wanted to use this because it was like, it's a very run of the mill title. I could probably yeah. Google the captain's daughter and find like 10 books
yeah.
from all different genres. And it's like, for it not to have anything to do with the book, it's just like,
you have like the love inspired extreme where they're just like stating things that are happening or yes. like making a statement that's ridiculous or like overdone. And then you have like the captain's daughter and you're like, why is this called this at all? I don't get it. I don't want to get to the end of a book and still not know why the book was titled what it was. That's a fail in my opinion. I'm trying to think yeah. of any books that we actually like got to the end and were like, I have no clue. Like at least with that book, she was a captain's daughter and I think he had gone missing and it was kind of like something that she kept like poking at, but it wasn't like relevant to who she was in the story. But at least like there was a reference to her being his daughter. But
yeah.
I'm like, I seriously think that there was a book that we're like, why? We don't even know why this was called this and it's not coming to mind.
Yeah, I feel like I have that like memory, but yeah, I'm like looking around my shelves like trying to see
if, like if we think of it, we'll check back.
So if you had your preference, would you like, how many words is like an ideal title to you? I have a number. I'm just curious if you had a number.
I would say I really honestly like the ones that are one or two.
Yeah, I feel like three is the sweet spot for me.
I agree. Like three is the sweet spot, but like my attention is grabbed by the one or two ones. But three it's a normal, like your brain can get behind it.
There's usually not too much going on.
Yeah, usually there's a throwaway the something something.
Yeah, the and whatever. But yeah, I agree. Like the shorter the title, the more catching and memorable it tends to be. Because like we said, like you have to put so much significance into those couple words. So like it has to be poignant enough that like you get it.
Yeah, like JJ's next book is called The Living Snot. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Don't really leave much to the imagination.
I think you know whether you want to read it or not based on the title alone.
If boogers aren't your thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll read most any. Have you ever been turned off by a title alone so that you wouldn't read the book? That's a question.
I don't know if I've been like completely turned off, but I know it has contributed. Like I'll be like, I'll read it, like see a title and then like, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to read the description. And if the description also sounds stupid and then I'm like, and also this title, like I'm out.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I've ever refused to read a book based on the title.
I do all the time.
Well, yeah, you're like
that has the word Amish in it, I'm done.
Okay, well, that I've done.
Sorry, I just had to be sassy for a minute.
Yeah, we will not read anything with the word Amish in the title. And the nice thing about the Amish books is they usually put Amish in the title.
Yeah.
So even if you're just handing the title or like some sort of word that only like covenant or wreck, like just like weird words like that are only used in that sense, you can usually tell an Amish book by the title from a mile away.
Yeah. Like, I think that in life, I don't really see myself reading many books that have the word covert in them because usually it's also an Amish book. That's true. Very covert.
The Amish are very covert, apparently, according to fiction books.
I don't really want to read any books that have the word baby in, like, honestly, child or term of endearment. I don't want to read about a baby of any kind.
I would be definitely turned off if there was something about, like, the term of endearment in the title. I mean, like
the Susan May Warren, like, baby, it's cold outside. Like, I...
Okay, but that's the song.
But it's cringy. The song is cringy. The title is cringy. It's cringy.
I mean, I'm not, like, advocating for it, but, like, that one gets a pass on that word because it's a song title.
It's also, like, the song of someone who's roofing someone, so... I can't. Yeah. I can't. I know. I get why she did it. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But in general, that's the kind of baby that I'm, like, not here for. And also regular babies. Babies of any kind.
Thankfully, like, I think outside of Love Inspired, people aren't dumb enough to put baby in the title.
I agree. I agree.
That word's going in our Love Inspired hat, though. We're going to put it in there, like, three times. Yeah. Because there's always a baby.
There's always a rancher with a baby. There's always a secret baby. There's always some kind of, like, baby on the way.
Or surprise.
Surprise baby. Yeah. That's the one we're missing. His surprise baby.
Okay, here's a question. Do you like to be able to tell the genre of the book by the title?
Like, if I was blindfolded and you told me the title?
Yeah. Like, do you think you'd be able to tell most genre? Like if I threw out titles, you could tell me the genre.
I don't know. Give me two. You've got a whole horde of books there.
I gotta find ones that you haven't read. That's why I gotta find ones that you haven't read.
That's probably not hard.
Okay, we're gonna go with every letter.
I mean,
what do you think?
I think it's contemporary, but it could be historical.
Oh, it's not contemporary.
Whoa! So no, I don't think I can.
No, it's, well, you'd think letter would be a giveaway that it's not contemporary.
Well, I mean, people write letters in contemporaries too.
I feel like it's not as common. I feel like that's more a historical thing.
Are you trying to, like, argue with the fact that I didn't get, like, there's no way that I could have determined that. People write letters still.
They do.
It could go either way.
It really could. I don't know if I have, like, many other ones.
It could have been, like, a cute story about a pen pal falling in love, like a You've Got Mail situation. I know you love those. Not.
Gosh. I like the premise. I just don't like the actual movie. Come at me, people, if you want. I don't care. I'm done. Like, I don't even pretend. I don't like You've Got Mail.
I think you had to be, like, experiencing it when it came out. And if you missed
the book, I did.
Don't get it.
Like, exactly. But, like,
you were not old enough to experience it when it came out.
Like, yeah, but I'm saying, like, I watched it when I was young enough.
Yeah, but you were still past the point of, like, you were using AOL and it was cool and all the things. You know what I mean? I think that's what made it cooler than it was.
I experienced my siblings using AOL. I just wasn't old enough to be allowed. I don't like Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. And I also thought the movie was boring as all get out. I literally got one of my boredom headaches from watching that movie. So I tried again recently. I think it was last year. Because it's my sister's favorite movie. And so I was like, I'll give it a shot. And I literally, like, wanted to, like, turn it off so fast. I don't get it. But that's a horse of a different color. We've gone so far off topic now.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've, like, exhausted all the things I can think of to discuss about titles. You got anything else?
No, but I do have... We have to discuss our follow-up question from last week. So we did have one author reach out to us. I shouldn't say if we could say her name or not.
I mean, I don't think she'd really care. We say her name enough on here.
It's Susan Tuttle. She's the only one that listens to this podcast, so she's the only one that answers. She basically, in a nutshell, if I'm remembering correctly, because it was loud when I was listening, I'm not going to lie. My children are loud. She says that she has been approached by a publisher and authors for endorsements, and she always tells them she wants to read it, and if she can endorse it, she will. She obviously is not going to endorse something that isn't in line with her beliefs, and you know, if it's not clean and all that kind of stuff. But she, from what I could understand, said like she tries to kind of like take her personal preference out of it a little bit, and
yeah,
make sure that there's no like glaring problems, and if there's nothing that's like glaring that she could say like this is an issue, then she writes an endorsement, a favorable endorsement. So that was the answer that was given.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we land on the answer to the question.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of what we thought it was to some extent.
Yes.
But I don't know. Maybe it's different for other people. That's how she handles it.
I think if you really want a real deal author endorsement, you should probably just become friends with more authors and ask them, like, shoot me straight in a private message, not on social media, like out loud, what they think of a book. And 9 times out of 10, maybe 10 out of 10, they'll probably just give you their honest opinion. Endorsements are probably not the best way to decide whether you're going to read a book, because they're kind of like references on a resume. No one's going to say anything bad in an endorsement. So if they're endorsing it, like that's the good stuff. It's like the cotton candy fluff. Yeah. So that's my take. If you want an author's opinion on a book that you are thinking of reading and you know they've read it, just ask them straight up in a private message. And if they trust you with their answer, like you're not going to go like say, well, so-and-so told me that they hated it. If they trust you and you're a trustworthy person, you probably will more than likely get the answer you're looking for. That's my 2 cents.
I feel like that's pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Again, I say it all the time, word of mouth. It applies to like 90% of things. Just ask people like a normal person, should I read this?
Yeah, because it's not like, as long as it's in like a private message, most of the time they'll shoot you straight. I mean, we'll shoot you straight. I 100%, like anytime anyone asks me like, oh, but like, or they'll ask like why I rated it something like a lower star or whatever, and I will be like, this is why. If you want to still read it, more power to you. And especially like if it's people that I know, and I'll be like, there was this issue and I know you'll also have an issue with this, so you might want to steer clear.
Right. Yeah.
So
I agree. It's the best way to get the information is to just have an honest conversation. Isn't that the best way to get answers to most of life's problems?
I feel like it is. I feel like you can't go wrong. And if they don't want to give you a straight answer, then go ask somebody else.
True. I would say try to find people that have similar reading tastes that you do, but
that's true. Yeah.
Other than that, who knows? That's the answer as best we can answer it. That's our follow-up from last week. We promised
we'd deliver. If we get more info.
Yeah. Well, if we get another opinion,
that's what we got.
We'll check back with you, but for the moment, that's what we have, and I think it's pretty similar to what we were all thinking. No big surprises. So, all right, well, I guess if you've made it to the end of the episode, pat yourself on the back. I thought it was fun. Was it fun to you? Yeah.
I had fun.
We always have fun, let's be honest.
We always. We don't usually have a discussion and not have fun. So.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, and we'll chat about something else next time. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
You can find us on Instagram at Basically Bookish Podcast. Hope you have a great day, and we'll chat with you next time.